This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Thank you. God bless you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 1, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 6, verse 1. This is Sherry Medlock. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come each Thursday to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, at 12 noon. Until 2 p.m. anytime in that window, and Scott and I are going to pray for the sick, cast out demons, and give words of knowledge. We'll anoint with oil. I'll open the door at 12 and close it at 2 each Thursday, 12 to noon. Healing prayer line. You don't even have to be saved to come. There'll be no teaching. Strictly Scott and I are going to show you the love of Jesus Christ, and we're going to do it for free. Please come each Sunday, 5 p.m., anointed word and anointed prayer. Come each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., anointed word and warrior prayer. And now the book of Judges. Last time we had a wonderful woman judge. Judge in the Hebrew, shofat, to set things in order. Her name was Deborah, so she set things in order. Even her name meant the word of God. She set things in order because she had the anointed word of God. And she reigned over the people, the children of Israel, in the promised land for 40 years. But she died.
Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord.
One generation would love God, and then he would bless them, and then they would become fat and sassy. They didn't need him anymore. They'd gotten their blessings, and away they go after another God. The word there, evil, in the Hebrew reads the evil, which means idolatry. They went after another God.
And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years.
Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happened to them, these people in the Bible, for an ensample example for our admonition, those of us who live at the end. We're in the fifth trumpet. It's coming to an end, a time of learning. That's why I'm teaching you. As soon as the Antichrist will come at the sixth trump. So this is an example. Now, Midian would actually be, the Midianites would actually be the seed of Abraham, but not the 12 tribes through whom Jesus would come. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had the 12 sons of 12 tribes. But Sarah died, and after Sarah died, boy, what a man he was. He was old when he had his baby. Okay, then he married Keturah, and they had a son named Midian, who was a Midian priest. But Midian typifies the body of Christ today that has gone bad. In the book of Matthew 24 and 25, God says, 5 virgins are wise and 5 are foolish. Half of the body of Christ is going to be deceived when the soon coming Antichrist appears and calls himself Savior. The instead of Christ. He's about to come at the sixth trump. Originally in the Bible, his reign was 7 years. You heard the tribulation, 7 years. Now, I will tell you this. In Mark 13, Jesus shortened that time for the elect's sake, thank goodness. So Midian now becomes a type of the body of Christ right now today that is already deceived and will come against God's elect because there's only a small group of people, 7,000, Romans 11, that will not bow the knee to Baal when the Antichrist appears. Not a literal number, but small in ratio. They're going to come against us and think we're heathen during the reign of Antichrist.
Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains. in caves, in strongholds.
The dens there means ravines. What happened? The Midianites would steal all of their produce, their grain, and so the Midian of the Israelites, in order to live, would hide their grain in little ravines. Now, Jesus tells us that when the Antichrist is here, the few of us who are not going to be deceived, and we're going to call us the hidden ones, we're going to sort of have to hide the grain, hide the Word of God. We're not going to be able to teach it so openly at that time, because of Antichrist will be having his own gospel.
Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had signed, so that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east.
Okay, so they had sown their crops and it was harvest time. Now, the Midians get two more people to help them. Now, here come against God's very elect, not to kill us, but to be against us and disassociate themselves from us when the Antichrist comes. Midian, God's people. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, who is Edom, who is Russia. That would be the communists and atheists of the world are going to finally believe in God, but it'll be the fake God. They're going to believe that the Antichrist is God, so they will be against the elect. And then who would be the men from the east? That would be the descendants of Ishmael. That would be the Arabs who have the Islam religion. So in other words, Revelation 13 says the whole world will go after the Antichrist. Christ, the instead of Christ, pretending to be Christ, and so they're going to sort of look down on us little hidden ones having to hide the word under a bushel.
Even they came up against them. Verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed the anchors of the earth. Till they come unto Galga.
All the way up to Gaza Strip, they took over their territory and took their sheep and took their produce.
And left no sustenance for Israel.
Now we're told that when the Antichrist comes, that you can have anything you want if you take the mark of the beast. It's not a computer chip, and it's not some kind of a sign on you. It is to be deceived in your head. You cannot buy nor sell.
Neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Why, for they came up with their cattle and their tents.
They came up to stay. Now, when the Antichrist comes, calling himself God, he will be the devil with his Jesus costume on instead of Christ. He's coming to planet Earth to reign forever as God. He's not going to, but he thinks he is. He already has his camp here, the Kenites. You see them all over the place. They have formally taken over America, except right now we've got a good judge, President Trump, thank God, in the stead, but we've had the Kenites there. They still are around. And he's going to bring the fallen angels of about to be described as grasshoppers, and they're going to set up residence on earth as though this is their eternal home.
And they came as grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers, that's the locust army of Revelation 9. That's the fallen angels. The fallen angels are going to swarm. They're going to come into the Christian church. They will come into Trumpet of Truth in this holy place, and they will look like wonderful people of God. They will say the word of God, and they will deceive many, many people. Will you know the difference?
For multitude. And both they and their camels were without number.
They brought their camels so they could steal the provision from the Israelites. In other words, Satan and his crew are going to come and try to take over our liberty and take over our souls for himself. However, I've got news for him. We're in a new season now. The elect, we're about to step up, and the camels are coming, and the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just, and the camels are coming to us, the elect, here at the end with provision so we can take this word to the whole wide world. Hallelujah.
And they entered into the land to destroy it. 6, that Israel was greatly impoverished.
There's a famine in the land. It was of bread and water then, but also of the word of God. There's a famine in the land right now, Amos 8:11. But it's not of bread and water here right now, but it's of every word of God. The only reason half the body of Christ is going to be deceived is because you do not know every word of God. We offer it here. Come and dine.
The Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. 7, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, because of the Midianites, ate But the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel.
A prophet is an anointed speaker of God's word. So he's going to send a prophet to tell them why they're suffering. About 10 days before the Antichrist comes, according to the solar calendar in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses are going to be heard. That does not mean the two witnesses are not here right now, but you're not aware of them. There will be two voices of truth that all of God's elect will hear. They are the two witnesses of Zechariah and Revelation, and the book of Revelation. And so you're going to become aware of them. They are there to encourage God's people, especially God's elect, the two witnesses. And they have a prophetic anointing.
Which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you forth out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage.
How sad for God that he's got to remind them, I brought you out of bondage. You were in bondage and slavery, and I brought you out of bondage. How sad for God that he has to remind you, Christian, as you go astray and as you get so busy about yourself, that he brought you out of captivity. He died on the cross for you and delivered you from eternal death. How sad that he has to perpetually remind us as we are so concerned about ourselves.
9. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land.
And God told the Israelites, he said, when you go into that land, take the heathen, drive them out. Drive them out. Drive them out. Right. And so now here as we come at these end times, and the hidden ones, the very elect, we are called and chosen to move in the spirit by prayer, by the anointing, and fly by prayer into the churches on planet Earth, especially America, and drive out the demonic forces and cut down their false prophets and pull down their veils of self-centeredness and expose the Christians that are sitting there with demons all over them.
Amen.
10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not, do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.
But you did not obey me. Now, what's God going to do?
11. And there came an angel of the Lord.
An angel of the Lord, 95% of the Bible, is the presence of God himself. Now, this is God Almighty. What God does from time to time, he is a spirit, and he's in a spiritual dimension. You can't see him. He's in this room right now. He's closer than hands are breathing. But you're in a physical. All you can see is what you can see or touch or hear. But God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. From time to time, he will manifest himself and take a form so that we can relate to him in the human body, as was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Emmanuel, God with us. And Revelation says Jesus walks among the churches, the Christian churches around planet Earth, and checks us out. I've had so many experiences where I was aware, while the Holy Spirit's always here, the physical manifestation of Jesus appears in this place. So this is God, but he's kind of got a diffused covering over him.
Sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress.
Okay, Joash was an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, supposedly God's child, and was. But what happened? Joash is the church, the Christian church in the United States of America. But the enemy had come in on that holy territory and come in and set up altars to Baal. And so we look now and we see in the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, we see altars to self. Pray for me that I'll get this. Pray for me that I'll get this. Pray for me that I'll get this. Me, self. Just absolute greed. And then we see, and then they've got groves. They've got hidden. They're hidden. And many of the Christians, 90% of the Christians, if you go to church today, if you could see in the spiritual, they're sitting there with demons all over them, and they don't even know it. In other words, in the Holy Land has come and taken the church of Jesus Christ. But Joash has a son named Gideon. Gideon's name means the cutter down. The cutter down is the type of the hidden ones, God's very elect right here at the end time. And we're called and chosen and sent for this mission to tear down, pull down, cut down the groves that hide and keep the children of God set upon by demons. They're sitting there so sweet and nice, covered with demons and pornography and worshiping Baal and one verse and 3 points and books about the book and self and self and self. And so the hidden ones are Gideons, are the elect. We're the cutters down. Our assignment is to go by the power of God and the anointing in prayer. We do this on Wednesday night, and we fly into those areas, and we walk in there, and we tear down their altars, and we expose the demons that are holding the Christians back. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, why was Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press? First of all, a wine press is where you trod grapes, and it's a hole in the ground, maybe with some boards on it, but that does signify the grape, the blood of Jesus. The cutter down, the hidden one, we're standing in the blood of Jesus, threshing out the wheat to get the bread, the word of God. But why in a wine press? In every city, they would have a great big area called a threshing floor, and they would take the wheat, they'd take a stick and beat it, and it would loosen the little hull, the chaff, and separate the chaff from the good grain. And they would take a winnowing fan, and the wind would blow the hull and blow the stalk away, and the good grain would be there. They'd scoop it up and make bread out of it. But because the Midianites would steal it, Gideon, the cutter down, the hidden ones, we have to do it in a wine press. Right now, there are clusters of God's elect Gideons all over this United States of America and a few other places on planet Earth. We're few and small between. We're little tiny groups. We're not the mainstream church. We have the understanding, the mystery of God, and we're the hidden ones, and we're right here, and we stand in the blood of Jesus, and we beat out the wheat, and we give out the word, and we seem hidden, but we're doing the work of God. Don't discount the cutter downers. Don't discount the Gideons.
Amen.
So there he is, Gideon, is in the wine press treading wheat. That's really hard. It's dusty in there. It's hard in there. Nobody's saying, good job, Gideon.
Hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
How would you like God to walk up to you and say, I'm God, I'm with you, how do you do? You're a great person of courage. But Gideon does not know this is the Lord, but it's a great salutation. Now, why does he call Gideon a man of valor, of honor and courage? See, most people preach and say Gideon was a coward. No, Gideon is a cutter downer. He's an elect. He's a hidden one. He's the only one of all of his older siblings, as we're going to find out, he's the youngest in the family, that had the courage to get into the blood of Jesus and still beat out the word of God despite the fact that the enemy has taken over. That takes a lot of courage.
Yes.
I like him.
Amen. 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
He's not calling him God, Lord, there. It's like a polite, oh, sir. Remember, Gideon does not know this is God. Jesus comes in all kinds of ways. He's coming to our assembly as a homeless person. Did you notice him, or were you too busy smelling him?
And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up of Egypt?
Did not he part the Red Sea? Did not we have manna every day?
But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites.
So Gideon expresses his grief.
14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Glory in this thy might.
Go in this thy might. Gideon, I am going to baptize you with fire. Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you, a baptism of fire. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he gives you supernatural strength, supernatural power, supernatural memory, supernatural wisdom. And you can do exploits. You can run through a troop and jump over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul says, when I am weak, you are strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.
You, I'm choosing you. And God has chosen the very elect. That's why we're breathing right now.
Have not I sent thee?
In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, first earth age, when we're in a spiritual body, Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. When Lucifer rebelled, all of God's children almost followed Satan. In other words, one got up, others were lukewarm. They were the Asher tribe that sit in their cove and watch the show. But there was a small group of people that fought for God, and they were justified. But God needed these people with the oracles of light, the mystery of God. And he sent out a remnant of them in every generation. Sent, sent, sent. A sent one is an apostle. And when God sends you, God equips you.
15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.
The least means I am the youngest. And he says we're very poor. But he did say something good about the tribe of Manasseh. Joseph of many colors had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. In studying the migrations of the house of Israel, Great Britain is Ephraim, and Manasseh broke off and founded Canada. And the larger bulk of Manasseh, the house of Israel, is these United States of America. Now, he says, I'm the least. But you see, where were his older brothers? Why were they not courageous? Why were they not beating out the wheat somewhere? Oh my goodness.
16. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites.
You're going to have the victory, Gideon.
One man,
Moses prayed, and all Israel was saved. God can use one man. And so we're so dedicated here, and God is using us. If one can chase 1,000, what if all of you elect who are hearing me and are being quickened out there in outer space, in cyberspace, in radio land, outer space too, all of you are being quickened now. What if 10 of you filled with fire, 10 of you who know your life is about God, who've given it all up for God, who know you're called and chosen, know you're a hidden one, nothing to come here to usurp my authority or one-upmanship or to cause trouble, but to come and we would knit together. What could 10 of us do? 10 hidden Amen. Ones. Elect, connect, come.
And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I put unto thee and bring forth my present.
The present in Leviticus and Exodus is called a Minka offering. It means a meat offering, which would usually be a lamb, signifying Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or a meal offering, unleavened bread, which Jesus takes away the sin. The leaven stands for the sin, takes it out of the bread. So he says, I want to give you an offering. God, would you mind standing here waiting a few minutes? Except he doesn't know it's God. Okay, now you say, now wasn't that out? Did he not have enough faith? No, you know what Gideon's doing? He's being quickened here. When an elect, when it comes alive in you, You could be sitting there, but you can feel the movement. You know God's hand on you. But you want to make sure it was God, and you're not doubting, so you test the spirits. Paul says, test the spirits. And another studio before then, a man came in to my teaching. He had never seen me before, and he sat there through the whole thing. And when we finished, he said, you pass. I tested the spirits. He said, everything you said has got scripture to back it up. He handed me a piece of paper this long. I'm glad I passed the test. So he said, discern the spirits. In other words, he knew that if this were of God, that God would consume this offering. Why did he know that? Because every Hebrew boy had to know the first five books, the Pentateuch memorized in the Bible, which said about the Minka offering and how that God would consume it if it were acceptable. So he's going to see if this is God, God will accept this offering. You know what? Is God going? How many times have you put God on hold? God, can I push the pause button on you for a few minutes? God's been waiting for many of you many times. He wants you to open up your heart and shout and give him the rest of your life. All right, give it all up. Give it all up. Give it up. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting in the wings. How long do you think he's going to wait? Don't make him wait too late.
And fetch it before thee. And he said unto him, I will tarry until thou come again.
God is very long-suffering. Max, that was your scripture tonight in James 5. And he'll wait and tarry. He's patient. God is patient, long-suffering. And so he's waiting. Now, once again, how long has God been waiting on you to be what you're supposed to be?
19. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. And unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour.
An ephah of flour is a lot of flour. Now remember, the Midianites were stealing their flocks. Let's call the kid a lamb and the bread. So that meant that he's going to take a lot of flour to make a lot of the unleavened bread, representing the fact that Jesus' blood takes away the sin out of the bread. And he's going to give one of the finest lambs there, the Passover lamb. That means that the hidden one, the cutter down Gideon, said, you know what? I'm called of God, and I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to give it all. I mean, if I never have another bite to eat, I'm going to give it all. I can tell you the truth. I have given up everything you think you ever think you have to need. Do you know I'm the freest person? Do I need stuff? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. But let me tell you one thing. I'm happy. And some of you got all kind of stuff on you, so sour and miserable because you still haven't given up. You're holding on to stuff you can't take with you. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All to Jesus I surrender. Your best.
The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot.
Now the broth would be the drippings that came from the Passover lamb. There was a Passover lamb on a cross, and something dropped from him, and it was blood. And so we have the blood of Jesus. We have the Passover lamb. The unleavened means the sin has been taken out of the bread. The basket there is the Hebrew word sol, which means a tray on which you put a sacrifice for royalty. A sacrifice for royalty. So he hands it to God, but he doesn't know it's God. I dare you to give your best, your time, your talent, your energy, and you don't have to be crazy like me, all your money. But I'll tell you the truth. I have found that out, that the best thing is to just give it all up for God. You really don't need the stuff. You don't even need a bed to sleep in. You don't need a shower. You don't need these things. You've been spoiled rotten. What if you gave it all up and lived in a hut and gave all your money to God? I'm not asking for your money. I've never asked for a cent. But I get a little bit disgusted when I pour out my life to people and for God. And then I see people with so much and just holding on. Why are you holding on for that which you cannot keep?
And brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock.
Just happened to be a rock there. Jesus, monumental stone, immovable rock. An altar just happened to be there.
And and pour out the broth, and he did so. 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock.
When I was a little girl, we had fireplaces. I did not know how to build a fire. I was a little toddler. Mother said, go build a fire. Well, I didn't know how to do that, but I found this little stick. They called it fat lighting or something like that. It was easily ignited, so I'd strike a match to it, and I would easily light, and then I would take the stick with the fire going, let it burn, and stick it on the wood until the wood caught fire. Now, in the book of Zechariah, the hidden ones, the cutters down, the very elect here, you are to be a firebrand, and you are to be the poker that brings the body of Christ awake and alive and bring forth that healing and that anointing fire into the church. Fire cleanses and fire purifies. And so, cutters down, you're supposed to go by the power of the anointing in prayer into the congregations and walk through in your spirit, man, and pray and expose the demons that have got working in the church and all of the altars that are in there, and then go through with the word of God and bring forth the fire of God down, cutters down. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And consume the flesh and the unleavened cakes.
Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. That was Gideon's answer, because he knew from the law that Moses had written, God had given to Moses, that if God had accepted it, the fire would eat it up.
Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
Now, did he leave him, or he just could not see him?
22. And when Gideon had perceived that it was the angel of the Lord,
suddenly he read, oh my Lord, that's God. Oh my goodness, how would you like to be having a conversation? Dear God, that was God. But do you know Jesus says many times, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. I've had experiences of just the outcast of society coming into my school, and I could feel that it really was the presence of Jesus. But remember that how you treat others, the love and respect, those people that nobody ever reaches out for, or anybody, remember if they're Christian, you're doing that to Jesus.
Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.
They believe that if you saw God face to face, you would die. And remember, God walked past Moses and hid Moses in a little cleft of a rock and let Moses see his backside. God's face is awesome. So let's see, is he going to die?
23. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die.
Now for you cutter downers, you Gideons, you hidden ones, just before that moment that you're about to step on into that platform where you're going to go and cut down and pull down the altars and pull down the groves in the church with God's help and get this word and victory out to the world, you're going to feel that you're not going to make it. Something's going to happen that you think you're going to die. Been there, done that. That, in other words, it could be a physical thing, it could be something happens. It really looks like you're not going to make it. See? He thought he was going to die. Satan wants you hidden ones to think that you're going to not make it. God says you shall not die. God says you shall not die but live and declare the works of God. We shall go forth in the fire of God, the anointing, because the camels are coming. And we're going to go into the churches in our spirit prayer time. And we're going to break down the altars of Baal. And we're going to expose the demonic forces in the church. And we're going to preach the word of God to America, to the whole wide world. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Then Gideon made an altar there unto the Lord. and called it Yahweh Shalom.
Yahweh in the Hebrew, the sacred name of God. It's not Yahweh and it's not Jehovah. It's Yahweh. And Shalom means peace. The Lord is my peace. And so God gives peace to his Gideons, to his hidden ones, to his very elect. We're the hidden ones now. People don't know about us, but we're not going to be hidden too long because we're about to pull the Baal altars down out of the church. We're about to be used for God to reform the church in Jesus' mighty name and get it back whole and aligned and pull down the groves and pull down, expose the sins and the pornography and all of the carnality in the church. We're about to do that. And through it all, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is my peace.
Amen. Unto this day, it is yet in Oprah of the Abijah rites.
And Yahweh will always give you peace. So Yahweh Shalom. We'll begin right there next time. I hope you were blessed. Right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God, all you Gideonites out there, you hidden ones. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my anointed twin friend, Scott Merson.
No, thank you. Hi, Miss Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Great word. I'm doing good.
Thank you. You're a Gideon. I'm a Gideon.
I'm telling you, ready for that thrashing.
A little thrashing.
Okay, we have our first question. What was your reaction when you saw President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu get together in Jerusalem?
I was so rejoiced because Ezekiel 37 says the two sticks shall be reunited. It is part of that prophecy come true. There are 12 tribes of Israel, but they are divided into two houses. Two of them, Judah and Benjamin, are called the House of Judah. And Benjamin Netanyahu represents them. 10 of them are the House of Israel, and President Donald Trump represents us. It was a beautiful, beautiful hand of God to see the House of Judah and the House of Israel back together again, the seed of Abraham. It was beautiful. Now, there'll be more to that, but it was great.
Yeah, that was a historic
yeah. Beautiful.
Our next question, the media lies bigly against President Trump. Will they get away with it?
No, they will be bigly persecuted for that. Bigly, by the way, is a proper word. President Trump uses it. They made fun of him at first about it, but no, it's a great word. I taught English. It's a good word. No, we studied Psalms Wednesday night. It says the wicked plot against the righteous, but what the wicked plot against the righteous is going to turn back on the wicked and destroy them. No, they don't get away with it. They will be as the fat of the lamb on a spittle.
Yep, sure.
Psalm 37 says that.
Yeah.
So, you know, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, it's time now for Scott's stuff.
Oh, thank you. Our God is a steward of his own heart, who longs for an intimate relationship with his own creation, that they might walk forth as stewards of his heart, his power, his love, and his glory. 1 Corinthians 4:1.
That is so beautiful and so perfectly aligned with the lesson today.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Scott Merson. God bless you. God bless you. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me.
Use me, Lord.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. And if you prayed that and meant it, I invite you to call and leave your message on my machine. And leave your name and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now by the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. From the north, the south, to the east and the west, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow. Right down the spine, the backbone, let the pain stop. Let there be perfect alignment in the vertebrae. Let the nerves be unpinched. Where there is missing bone, let there be new bone in Jesus' name. Let the pelvic area be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to the liver. Let cirrhosis of the liver be healed in Jesus' name. Let the liver operate right. Gallbladder, stomachs, lungs, throats, thyroids, eyes and ears, gums and teeth and brains, dementia be gone, mind come back, memory of God, blood be purified, bones and knees stop hurting. Let the kneecaps absolutely put a new kneecap, right shoulder, left shoulder, let the muscles relax in Jesus' name. Feet and toes, perfect alignment, stomachs, kidneys, bladders, every part of your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Praise the Lord. I think I got healed. Thank you, Father. Now, if you were healed, you feel free to call and tell me that too. Excuse me. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. God responds to every act of faith, no matter how small, no matter how big. God responds to every act of faith, no matter how small, no matter how big. God bless you, and I love you, and thank you so much for listening. Tell people about Trumpet of Truth, the radio, internet, WMIFM.com, on demand. And go and tell. Nothing is given to you to keep. It's so selfish to keep beautiful jewels and just keep them to yourself. Let's not be selfish. Let's do what Jesus said. Let's go and tell. Bring somebody with you into the kingdom. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying I love you and God bless you. And remember to stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Of regrets that you can't get past yourself. You wish so bad that you can make the mark, but your dreams are stuck on a shelf. And all you want to do is turn back time and redeem the days you lost. But shame keeps calling out your name. Chains refuse to fall. It's not over. It's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open. Arms wide open to tell you this is not the end. change the world with a fire deep in your soul. Your faith was strong and the call was clear. I'm sure you can make a new road. Like so many, the flame grew dark. Confidence hit the wall. There always seems to be a lot of big questions, and the answer seems so small. It's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, arms wide open, to tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when grace, that's when grace walks in. It's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, arms wide open, to tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when
the heart of a champion. Listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Soul thirst for you, and Father, I want to know.